everybody from our Good Life video blog series, and you know you can get everything we do on any podcast near you. So today it's a very special edition. I'm here with my great friend Ivo Ivanov, and Ivo is not only a rock star, but he is a very well-known Bulgarian author, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and probably I'll have to say, or we've been together a long, long time, but just a great observer of human life and human interests, and I think that's what I love about you. Your stories always have an incredible perspective, and I think that's why you're here today, because this story needs a perspective too. I work today. You know, I always talk about the never-ending journey, and today we're going to talk about that journey to the next generation of care. But anytime you start a journey, a real one, you need to know where you are and how you got there and where you're going. And I think that's what this episode is about, is trying to, you know, look at this journey that we need to go to, and that journey really is to the vision of the final rule. And I, you know, a lot of people, everybody in our industry knows what the final rule is, Ivo.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to make it simple. And the final rule at its core is living a normal life. What everybody wants for people with intellectual disabilities, for seniors, for everybody, is they want, if they have a needs for support and care, they want those needs met, but they want them to lead a normal life. So that's what they want, you know, and that's pretty simple vision.
Yeah.
We all know the tragedies of the pandemic, but at the same time, and I think it's true with a lot of tragedies, there's a silver lining with every tragedy, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and the pandemic has changed us forever. When I do virtual presentations, I mean, all the time, I would tell you 3/4 of all the people that I meet with are working at home. We're talking about industry leaders in managed care, industry leaders in community services. The people I meet with, more than not, are not in their office. They're working from home. So what? And they chose to do that. It wasn't that they have to. They yeah. chose to. So, and when they had to do it, and then they came back to where they don't have to do it, it's clear that they want to. So what resonated with people, do you think? What is it?
You know, I've read somewhere recently, the average life expectancy of an American is about 42 million minutes. And it seems like a lot, 42 million minutes, but before you know it, it's 20 million minutes. I'm looking at my life now, and I'm looking at 10 million minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend 45 of those precious minutes stuck in traffic, going to the store, going to work. I want to spend those minutes in the most functional possible way. I want to be able to have extra time to be with my loved ones, to be with my children. I want to extract as much value as possible from my life, from my 42 million minutes. I think people instinctively, they might have not read this, they might not think about life in minutes, in terms of minutes, but they instinctively know how valuable life is and how valuable time is. It's really the only currency that will never lose its value. It only gathers more value.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that people understand that.
And the other part about it is life is organic. And I use this word as it is, life ebbs and flows. And, you know, I was talking to my friend Mindy the other day, and she had to be at home because they were delivering furniture, so she was working from home. And it's like, well, they only delivered furniture 10 minutes, right? But she didn't know when those 10 minutes were going to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just great for her to be able to do that and to be available to do that. Last night, I went to the Chiefs game and we won. Yeah. You know, we won. It was a very hard game, but you know, I had a meeting right before that, and I chose to take it in the parking lot, in my car, on my Google Meet on my phone. You know, and I could do that. But I was able to live my life and intersect a really critical meeting that I had to have that I couldn't choose when it was going to be. But I could do it organically as my life unfolded in a way that didn't let me miss out on something that I really wanted to be part of. And that's it. And by the way, I went there with my son, and it was super important to do. But you know, that's why people love it. You know, they want to live their version of a life, and they don't want places to get in the way. You know, I use the word place. It's like going to a clinic. That's a place, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking health. I'm saying the store's a place.
Yes.
Blockbuster was a place, right?
Was.
What happened was, is the right word, right? What the heck happened to Blockbuster?
Technology took it away.
It was a place killer, wasn't it? It was a place killer. And that's what I see is technology has been place killers. It's allowed us to redefine what's possible for living a normal life. I mean, you know, I love an old philosophical mentor was a guy named Wolf Wolfsenberger. He was the guy that created, you know, the concept of normalcy, of living a normal life, that people with intellectual disabilities wanted a normal life. They called it normalization. They wanted a normal life. Well, you know, then normal life, that was the 70s. And we haven't, by the way, we haven't got much closer to what his vision was. And now the final rule has taken his vision and recasted it and recasted it. The vision doesn't really change. The only thing that changes is two things. What's a normal life changes, right? Now, you know, that and our capabilities to do it change. But I don't know, sometimes, you know, we're the last people to, as an industry, to adopt what everybody else has adopted already, you know, to make things happen, you know. And so we've been killing places for a long time, and I think the pandemic took that to another level, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I say killing places, and more specifically, you know, we know that, like, Blockbuster had a business plan where they had a store.
Yes.
And we all went to the store. And, you know, you got to look at why did they have the store? Or a grocery store is a place we go, right? A clinic is a place we go. These are all places. So why do they exist? I mean, if you want to, you know, sort of change something, I'm a behavioral analyst, so I always think this way, but if you want to change something, you got to understand why it exists, because there's a function to it, right?
Yeah, provide a service.
The reason places exist to provide goods and services is because it was delivered on their terms in a way that they could control, right? It was on their terms. Mm-hmm. But this is the coolest thing, and I think it talks about normalcy, is what did we just figure out? Well, everybody doesn't want to go to places that delivers things on their terms anymore, do they?
And there's a lot of things that come up with it. You know, there was Blockbuster. We mentioned Blockbuster. Then you had to go through their selection, search for the right product, right, for the right movie.
Take it back.
Then you go back, and then you have to deal with late fees occasionally because you don't always have the time to return the movie on time.
Or you lose it.
Yeah, and but
my kids lost it.
You know, yeah, I've lost it sometimes. But really, the biggest fee we pay is those precious minutes that tick away, our time, our life. And I know change is hard, but progress is inevitable.
Right.
And technology provided us with all of these products, all of these movies on demand when we want it. We can see the trailer. We can decide, right, from our home, whether we want this product or not.
Exactly. Everything has been hit by technology in a way that has ended the store. You know, it's a place killer. It's a place killer. It basically says, nope, I don't want to live life on the clinic's terms. I don't want to live life at Hy-Vee's terms or a store's terms. I don't want to go to Blockbuster. I want things on my terms, and I want home field advantage. I like that. We want home field advantage. We want to be able to start a meeting, end a meeting, have a cup of coffee, walk the dog, have another meeting, you know, go in our own little study and work for a little bit, and then go to lunch with our wife. I mean, it's a great life. Now, not everybody can live it. Maybe you can only live it partially, but we're only living it because of technology. I mean, when Amazon started, Netflix started, for example, it was they mailed you stuff.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
They mailed it. They didn't do it. But I think their vision was exactly what's happening. But I think they just looked at, well, okay, what's possible? And mail did it first, and you had to do the return thing. And then pretty soon broadband speeds and other things changed to make something possible.
Yeah.
Then you got the downloads. And from there, you got live TV, where there's not even downloading anymore. Now you have streaming TV. And I mean, the evolution. But the evolution happened at like Netflix because it was the vision from day one, I think. You know what the vision is? It's Bewitched. Remember
sure.
Bewitched? Where you know, all of a sudden Samantha twinkled her nose and then she got what she wants and then it went away. You know, she would get something and it would go away. I mean, you lived your life and then you could actually, if you could just snap your fingers and get what you want, and then it goes away. And then you get on with your life, and then you need something or want to do something else, you snap your fingers, and then, you know, it goes. Wouldn't that be, I mean, that could be the vision,
that
right?
Grubhub and, you know, the grocery delivery, and
yeah.
You snap your fingers or your phone app, and
yeah.
Bam.
So, yeah. So we're kind of caught in that world in care,
yeah.
Where we're going to probably end up walking in both worlds because, you know, people need human help and they want the human connection.
Yes.
But there's a lot that technology can do. And just like Netflix, it gets better. But it gets better only if you have the vision and only if you, you know, are working very hard to move towards it. But, you know, I think going to... you know, my presentations I've done with people, I've talked to them, and you know, we're having the worst crisis of staff. Well, yeah, we are having our staffing crisis. But I want to point out, I've been around for a long time, as you know, and we've been having a crisis of direct support capacity since community services started. And I mean, Dr. David Braddock, you know, was a huge author in 1995, and he published a study about the turbulence of our workforce and claimed that even at that time it was the most unstable workforce of all industries. And sort of what's changed? Well, it's actually much more unstable. I mean, right now today, as we sit, community services averages 32% part-time. I think post-pandemic and where we are now, I think we're closer to 100% turnover than 50, which was what we were before the pandemic. But when you look at a number of different people involved in care, that's because of vacancy rates where you have to use replacement staff or high turnover or people taking vacations and every other thing that causes different people involved in care. You may have, you know, four times the turnover rate of the number of different people involved in care across time. That's what our research is showing. So going, I've started asking every one of my conferences, presentations, the same question. I said, okay, you guys all know the vision of the final rule. If we were having people served in 1 or 2 person placements today, how many of you have or believe it's even possible to have the labor and stability to deliver that. I mean, every time, hundreds of people, I've never had anybody raise their hand. When you put that on the back of 50 years of instability, and you know the trends for senior care and all of that is ahead of us, though, thousands of people on the waiting list. How could we even pretend that we have the workforce to deliver the vision of the final rule?
Has anyone at those conferences given you feedback about their vacancies? Is anyone being happy with what they have right now?
Well, you know, we work with 30 agencies on improving it. The number one problem, really, is, you know, people just gravitate to pay, but it's really not pay. It pays important.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue is wonky schedules. You're trying to schedule your time in at home, but you can't do that because you don't know when the need is.
Yeah.
So people always end up overcorrecting, and they have to be there because people's needs are critical. And so all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to piece together how they're going to support somebody and be there, but that doesn't line up to any schedule at all that somebody could have. So, you know, I think we're really getting to the point of this whole thing, and that is there's a vision of the final rule. And that vision isn't a stinking bit different than Wolf Wolstenberger's vision that was in the 70s. It's no different. It's that people want to live a normal life like all of us and get the help they need when they need it, right? We need to be focusing on the Netflix.
Exactly.
And we can't just, you know, exactly, because there, you know, Netflix isn't just Blockbuster with technology. Netflix is what was technology made possible, and it's in completely and utterly different business plan. And that was true with Amazon, it was true with Instacart, and it was true with Grubhub, and it's true with StationMD. Technology made a different approach possible. They don't bolt that technology onto some traditional approach. They did not do it. They started with what was possible, and they reconceived how do you deliver services or a product or whatever with this new possibility. And that's where we are right now. And I dealt with families who didn't want to leave the institution, and they said some of the same things that I'm hearing now that some people might say about a group home.
Yeah.
And that is, I like the fact that the supervisor is in the home. I like this, I'll call it the store. Let's call it the store for a second. I like the fact that there's two sets of eyes on care. So I want to make sure that the care is of quality, whether it is or isn't. I want to make sure that my loved one is safe and not being mistreated because he can't advocate for himself. I want to make sure that somebody new, the new staff, and there's always the new staff, has somebody that's been there a while to help them learn what to do when the need arises, right?
Yes.
So I want at night there to be somebody available right then to help somebody, even though there may never be a need for help, right?
Yeah.
So there are specific reasons an institution existed, and we needed to come up with a way to do it different, to take those reasons away, and we kind of invented group homes at the time.
Yeah.
Now we have group homes, and there's a lot more reasons than that. I mean, cost of housing, things like that, you know, are in there too. A big van for transportation is, you know, there's other reasons.
Yes.
And I think it's important we identify those reasons, because that's where the journey, remember we talked at the beginning, if we want to journey somewhere, we need to know where we are and why we're there, right?
Of course.
So kind of bringing this thing home is, The journey starts from the group home, a place. It's a place that we send people for care. It's not their home, and I don't mean that it's not homey. It could be homey, but it's not their home. It's a place we send people for care. It's Blockbuster. It's mm-hmm. it's a store.
Yes.
And so, why did we do it? Well, we did it because the reason that I said, you know, we want multiple staff there so they can learn from each other. We want a supervisor present most of the time. We want somebody up at night. We want a big van for, you know, because it's cost effective. But basically, all of those are reasons why the store exists, and it's delivering services on the terms of the owner of the store, right? And that's the provider. And then, well, I'm not talking about things I haven't been part of. You know, I'm not trying to in any way do that. But that's where the journey's starting. It's starting from the store, and there's darn good reasons why it exists. We need to identify every one of those reasons, just like Netflix did, or Amazon did, or Instacart, or any of the other places, the remote clinics. And we have to say, okay, how can we take those reasons away? And how can we keep our two sets or four sets or 15 sets of eyes on the prize, which is how do we deliver a normal life? And then realize, like, the normal life is different now. 3 years later, it's different than it was 3 years ago. And now the goalpost way has moved on what a normal life, and it's a much better life. That's why we're sitting here, you know, having a discussion like this. A normal life is our real life, and we're getting the stores and the jobs and the travel and everything out of the way, and we've kind of got a version of Bewitch going on here, and it could be pretty cool. But that's the vision. That's where we are, and like the journey is how do you get there, and that's what we're going to have to start talking about. The technical term of it is technology leverage services, but really what it is, it's a new business plan that uses technologies in ways that deliver something better.